Witam from BA. This is a Rorschach Poland update from the 21st of August 2025, a quick summary of what's going down in Poland. Let's kick off with foreign affairs. On Monday the 18th, Georgette Mosbacher, former US ambassador to Poland, criticized Poland for missing high-level talks in Washington, saying it was probably the new president, Karol Nawrocki's, fault since his administration is, quote, still settling in, unquote. She said she hopes Nawrocki realizes how important Poland is in supporting Ukraine. Radosław Sikorski, Poland's deputy PM and foreign minister, also criticized Nawrocki's office, especially Marcin Przydacz, the president's foreign policy chief, for wrongly saying that Poland's absence was because PM Tusk and Sikorski didn't register to participate in the talks and stressed they need to stick to the facts. Also on Monday, prosecutors charged Robert Bąkiewicz, an ultranationalist activist, for calling border guard and military police officers traitors back in June while they were on duty. He denied the accusations, refused to testify, and now has to stay under police watch and keep at least a kilometer, about half a mile, away from border crossings with Germany. Mariusz Błaszczak, an MP from the opposition Law and Justice Party, said the charges are politically motivated because Bąkiewicz had exposed cases of German authorities pushing migrants into Poland, something the Civic Coalition, which holds a majority in parliament, denies. Bąkiewicz and his supporters have been running citizen patrols along Poland's border with Germany since March to stop mass migration. The Civic Coalition says the number of illegal crossings is going down and that only official services are allowed to handle border security under Schengen rules. A couple of days later, on Wednesday the 20th, a Russian drone violated Polish airspace and exploded in a cornfield near the village of Oshene, close to Poland's eastern border. The blast left a large crater, and investigators confirmed the drone carried explosives, though they are still checking whether it blew up mid-air or on impact. Fortunately, no one was hurt, and experts are working to identify the drone's type. Władysław Kosiniak-Kamysz, the defense minister, called it a deliberate provocation, saying it came at a sensitive time during ongoing peace talks. He also announced that Poland will strengthen its anti-drone defenses. Government officials urged the public to trust reliable sources when incidents like this happen, since Russia may try to spread fear, confusion, or false reports. In another kind of security issues, on Thursday the 14th, Krzysztof Gawkowski, the deputy prime minister, said in an interview with Onet, one of Poland's biggest news sites, that cybersecurity and emergency services recently stopped a cyber attack just in time before it could cut off a water system, though he didn't say which city got targeted or who was behind it. He explained that even though Poland manages to block about 99% of cyber attacks, there is always some risk, especially since local governments run a lot of key infrastructure like water, electricity, and transport systems, spreading themselves too thin, which makes them easier targets. Gawkowski also said the government is putting around 10 billion zloty, which is almost $3 billion, into cybersecurity for the rest of 2025 and 2026, on top of an earlier $800 million allocation for a national cyber shield program to protect water and electricity and block cyber attacks, especially from Russia. Following that, on Friday the 15th, Poland celebrated Armed Forces Day, which is also a public holiday, with its biggest event in years, featuring around 50 planes, 300 military vehicles, and over 4,000 troops. For the first time, the holiday included a naval parade featuring about 20 ships off the Hel Peninsula, including corvettes, frigates, mine hunters, and rescue ships. The Warsaw Parade showed off tanks, infantry vehicles, mine layers, F-16 jets, and helicopters. The celebration marked the 105th anniversary of Poland's victory over the Russian Bolsheviks in the 1920 Battle of Warsaw, which stopped the Red Army from advancing into Europe. Since we mentioned Warsaw, on Sunday the 17th, activists held a march for Palestine in the capital, which started at the Copernicus Monument and headed to the Polish Parliament. Groups like Emil Al-Kawalde, a pro-Palestinian movement, Pracowiczna Demokracja, a Polish progressive organization, and the Kafia Collective, consisting of activists supporting Palestinian rights, organized a march demanding that Poland cut ties with Israel, impose a full arms embargo, support genocide survivors, carry out medical evacuations from Gaza, hold Israeli citizens accountable for war crimes, and suspend visa agreements with Israel. The government monitored the protest closely to make sure nothing illegal or anti-Semitic happened. Speaking of Israel, on Friday the 15th, Poland's foreign ministry condemned fans of Israeli club Maccabi Haifa for flashing an anti-Polish banner in their Europa Conference League game against Polish team Rakow Częstochowa in Hungary, implying that Poland was responsible for killings during World War II. The ministry called it outrageous and stressed incidents like this shouldn't hurt Polish-Israeli relations. Jakub Rudnicki, the sports minister, said UEFA should punish the club, calling the display of the banner totally unacceptable. Other officials said the incident twisted history. Sikorski reminded that it was Nazi Germany, not Poland, that invaded countries in World War II and thanked Israel's embassy in Warsaw for condemning the fans' actions. On Sunday the 17th, Małgorzata Manowska, the head of the Supreme Court, submitted a complaint to the Constitutional Tribunal asking them to review the law that taxes garages way higher if they are standalone or outside residential buildings compared to ones inside homes, saying all garages do the same job and should be taxed equally. Garages in residential buildings are taxed at 1 zloty per square meter, around 30 US cents, while those in other buildings are taxed 12 zloty per square meter, about $3. Manowska said the law breaks constitutional rules on equality, property rights, and fair taxation. The case is now registered with the tribunal, but there is no hearing date yet, and the Constitutional Tribunal currently has only 11 out of 15 judges, with 4 seats empty due to arguments over new appointments and some disputes over which judges are legitimate. Next up, new projects. On Monday the 18th, Wody Polskie, Poland's state water agency, announced a bunch of new projects to boost flood and drought protection across the country. Over 20 construction sites are already running or about to start, including reservoirs, pumping stations, and levees designed for local risks. The agency said the government is funding around 180 projects with 250 million zloty, which is about $70 million, including major works like the Gora-Ropczycka Reservoir in southeastern Poland, which protects 12,000 residents. The projects also focus on retaining rainwater locally to help farms and ecosystems. In other news, on Thursday the 14th, Warsaw's Public Transport Authority announced plans to buy 120 articulated buses for regular routes and emergency evacuations. The tender is split into two lots of 60 buses, and bus makers can bid for one or both. Offers are due by the 16th of September, and the buses should arrive in Warsaw between October and December 2026. The buses will be low-floor, air-conditioned with passenger screens, wheelchair spaces, solar panels, braille buttons, and alcohol locks to prevent bus drivers from driving after drinking. They'll use diesel engines for reliability in emergencies and long trips. These buses are part of Warsaw's civil protection plans, and the city will seek government funding to help cover costs. Closing this edition on a positive note, on Wednesday the 20th, the police of Konin in central Poland told the media that domestic incidents have significantly dropped since the city banned alcohol sales at night in February. There were about 120 cases from February to June 2025, down from around 400 last year. The ban stops alcohol sales from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. in stores and gas stations, except restaurants, and officials say it's made nights calmer and cut down drinking among young people. Since 2018, about 175 towns and cities in the country have tried similar nighttime alcohol bans, mostly in the Mazowiecki province in central Poland, Małopolski in the south, and Wielkopolski in the west central region. And that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. Are you listening to us on Spotify? Remember, you can leave comments on the episode. No need to worry, they are private by default and we won't publish them. Want us to get back to you? Share your email and we can have a chat. Do zobaczenia!